And thanks, Sebastian, for inviting me. And I'm happy to be here to share my recent work about asymptotic analysis of semiform models with time-like triangles. This work is inspired by known models from radial calculus and went towards emerging gravity from semiform models. And this work is in collaboration with Mu Xin Han. So the outline of this talk is like this. We start with the introduction to spinform models and radial calculus. And then we'll derive the, write out the model explicitly, we derive the amplitude, and we write the asymptotic analysis. And then we will find the geometric interpretation of the critical configuration, which the dominant part of the asymptotic analysis of the amplitude. And finally, we evaluate the amplitude at critical point configuration. And then we come to the conclusion section. So let's start with the introduction part. So the start is an introduction for the triangulation used in spinform models. The triangulation of the space-time is built with four simplex. This is a basic graph for the boundary of four simplex. It contains five tetrahedrons. For example, the green line here, the orange line here, is a tetrahedron. And the four simplex is composed by five such tetrahedrons. And each pair of the tetrahedrons, they will share a triangle. So in total, you have 10 triangles here and five tetrahedrons here. And this can be viewed as a dual graph of the full complex. You cut the graph with boundaries and form this full complex graph with boundary of the four simplex. And in this graph, you have five nodes. And this is a dual vertex with five wall length. And each edge is dual to a tetrahedron pair. And the links is related to the faces, which is the triangle shared by the tetrahedron. So this is a detailed introduction for the boundary graph. So you see here, each link, which is dual to the face, spanned by, for example, 1 and 5 edge. And this link is dual to a triangle in this two tetrahedron shared. And this triangle is colored by spin J because you have a gauge group like SU2 here. And each node is dual to a tetrahedron. And in each node, you impose the gauge invariance, which you introduce an intertwiner of your gauge group. And this is actually a rank 4 invariant tensor. And in total, if you glue these triangles together, you get a spin network of the boundary graph. And this is the spin network in loop quantum gravity. So with this triangulation, the spinform models is defined as a state sum model on the graph. The spinform model is inspired from BF theory, and it was developed by many people here and in Marseille, in Germany, in France, in many other places, and many people contribute to the model here. Many people here contribute to the model, like Johan, Bianchi, Mu Xin, and Florian Conradi, and also like many postdocs like Sebastian and Otto also works on the model. So the model, basically, we want to start with the Lorentzian theory. So you chose the gauge group to be SL2C. And we impose a boundary gauge fixing, which you fix the normals of the boundary tetrahedron. And the normals is chosen to be 1, 0, 0, 1, 0, 0, 0 on T direction, which is known as time gauge. And this leads to the known EPIR model. And another choice made of the normals is you chose a space gauge, which the normals is in Z direction. And in this case, the tetrahedron is in the subspace of a three-dimensional Minkowski space. And this is known as Corradi-Hybrid extension. And now we move to our motivation part. This work is motivated by the known models in radial calculus. Radial calculus is a discrete formulation of general relativity. So it's based on discrete geometry, which a common used model is Sorkin triangulation, which developed by Sorkin. And the model is start with a triangulation of the initial slice, which is you compose in four dimensional with 3D slice, it's composed by space-like tetrahedron. And then you pull this slice, and you drag every vertices in this slice forward to another time, which form a space-time triangulation. Here is a two-dimensional analog of the circuit spin. You start with a lattice spacing of the initial slice, and you drag A to A prime using another T, and this is a time-like link. And then you drag B, and you link A, B in the new time slice. So this forms a triangulation of the whole 2D space-time. So in 4D analog of this, you have a space-time triangulation with every four simplex contains both time-like and space-like tetrahedron, like you have space-like and time-like link here. And also, every time-like tetrahedron will contain both time-like and space-like triangles. And there are many known predictions from such triangulation, inspired from such triangulation like gravitational waves and Kastner universe models and also black holes. But the synthetics of spin-form models already investigated in last 10 years, and it was done on space-like tetrahedron, which is time gauge, and it was also done on time-like tetrahedron, but with all faces space-like. And in all these models, the faces are space-like. The result is good already, because asymptotics of amplitude, they show, is dominated by the critical configuration. And the critical configuration are simply short geometries. And of course, they are possibly degenerate simplicial geometries. And they show that this asymptotic limit is related to radiation. So it's discrete JR. So are you guys satisfied with this asymptotics result? So of course, not for me, at least, because there's none of them contains time-like triangles. But as we showed before, such kind of triangulation contains time-like triangles. So if you want to compare your result with all known models of radial calculus, because you get a radiation here, you need time-like triangles. So this leads to our work with asymptotic analysis of spin-form model with time-like triangles. We show that the asymptotics of the amplitude is still dominated by the critical configuration. And the critical configuration, again, simply short geometry. However, we have a good result. It's different from here, because they have possibly degenerate sector in the previous result. And this degenerate sector, you don't know how to exclude this. This may also contribute to your final result. But here, in our model, there will be no degenerate sector. And finally, the asymptotics formula in our model is like this. The SK is still the radiation on the simplicial complex. So finally, you still related the model to radiation. Now we start the details of the work. So the model we use is the Girardi-Habida extension spin network model from EPR-FK models. In EPR-FK models, we show that they use time gauge. But here, we use space gauge, which you choose the normals in Z direction. And in this case, the stabilizer group, which keeps this normal invariant, is SU11 instead of SU2, because you are not in a three-dimensional Minkowski space for the tetrahedron. And in this model, there is a one map which related to the gauge fixed group HJ, which is a Hilbert space of SU11, mapped to the Hilbert space of SR2C. And this map is defined like this. The rho and n here are the labels of SR2C irreducible representations. And j are labels of SU11 irreducible representation. And SU11 representations, there are two series. One is discrete series, which is for space-like triangles. And another one is continuous theory. Like in this, J is 1 minus 1 half plus Rs. S is a real number. This is a continuous, and it's related to the time-like triangle. Like this here is S. And S is related to N. And as a result, the area spectrum of the area operator turns out to be like this. So you see that time-like triangle is still with a discrete spectrum because of the link between N and S. N is a discrete number. N is a half integral or integral from SR to the reducible representations. To do the semi-classical analysis, of course, we need coherent state, which preserves the semi-classical the semi-classical properties of the theory. And you know, we want to have time-like triangles. Time-like triangles is naturally associated with space-like normal. The space-like normal is used here, like chosen as K1 against state. So K1 is a generator or SU11 group, which is the X2 or X1 direction. So it's a space, it's a space-like direction. And the eigenstates of K1 is twofold the degeneracy real line. And we chosen the coherent state from this state, which lambda is equal to minus S. S is the representation label of S11, which is J is minus 1 half plus Rs. I can remember this. And now you project it through one web to the physical Hilbert space. And with this state, you can write the amplitude in this way. And it turns out the amplitude appears in the integration form, like here. You have four actions. You have the sum of four exponential of the actions. And each action appears, each of these actions is pure imaginary. And also, there is a denominator H. And there one half order singularities appears in the denominator H. This is already different from the previous result, because in SU2, you only have one action, and you don't have this singularity. The singularity is here because of SU11 invariant in the product is X1, like V1 squared minus V2 squared. Not like in SU2 case, is V1 squared plus V2 squared, for example. So now we write out explicitly what is the action is. The action is like this. So here you have, you generate four actions to this S on each edge. And the S is written like this. This bracket is SU11 invariant in the product. And the basic variables is small j and the SR2C group element. And also there is a small L in the C2 on each on each triangles of the tetrahedron. And this is actually a null basis in C2. And you also have gate transformations, these three gate transformations for the action. And you can check that. So with this action, we can move, we can try to see what is the semi-classical limit of the model. The semi-classical limit of the model is keeps this area spectrum fixed, but we take the Planck length goes to zero. So this lead to this lead to NF goes to infinity uniformly, which usually we call it a large J asymptotics. And J is given by, again, by this. And we recall the integration form of our amplitude. We have exponential S, and each S is linear in J, as you can see here, because NF is related to JF. It's linear in J, and they appear imaginary. So this is a stationary phase approximation. However, we also have branch, we also have singularities in H. So this leads to stationary phase approximation with branch point. So as this is the asymptotic of integration, is you take a factor to infinity, and you want to get the symptotic approximation of this integral, where you have a branch, you have a singularity here, and you have action like this. So the result is the symptotic is dominated by two parts. One part is given by the critical point, which is the solution of the derivative of S respect to X. Another one is given by the branch point, by this one half singularities. So there are two different cases. The first is a critical point located exactly at this singularity. And in this way, the asymptotic formula is given like this. It's not like the usual stationary phase asymptotic, because in usual asymptotics, you get lambda up to minus one half. But here, you have lambda up to minus 1/4. So because of the contribution here. And another part is critical point and branch point, they are separated. But we'll show later in our case, all the critical point here is exactly located at the branch point. So we only need this part. And this is only a single variable integral. So basically, we need a multi-variable integral. And the multi-variable case is going by your evaluation this iteratively for every variable. So now, what we need to do is we give the critical point equation and we try to solve the critical point. Before we do this, we will introduce a decomposition of these variables. So as we said before, this is in the C2 plan. And L here is the basis of the C2 plan. So we can use this L to decompose this big C. And so this from C2 becomes these two variables, each is in complex plan, like theta and alpha. And from this relation, it imposes a constraint between theta and alpha like this. And the variation of the action respect to the small j gives you this equation. And this equation is actually a Bloom condition on ages. So you remember each age, these two edges here is dual to a triangle. And this triangle is shared by these two tetrahedron TE and TE prime relate to these two edges. So this gluing condition is actually the transformation of the bivectors. So bivectors means the two normals in spotty space-time for this triangle. So this transformation is bivectors in this coordinate to this coordinate. And the variation respect to L gives you the gluing condition on vertices. So for two vertices in the graph, each vertex is a four simplex, related to a four simplex, and two four simplex, they will share a tetrahedron. So you move from coordinate in this simplex to this simplex, this gives you the gluing condition on vertices. And finally is the variation respect to the SL2C group element J. And this gives you the closure on faces F on triangles of this tetrahedron. You have four faces, so you have these four faces, something related to these four faces and some to zero. And it's like this. So basically you have six equations related to the six generators of SL2C group element. And this is not like the previous result, because in previous result, you only have three equations, because they coincide with the other three generators, like SU2 part and the both parts coincide. But here, it's not. We have real six equations. And from these six equations, you can determine real alpha and imaginary alpha, actually. And the most interesting part is this. So here, this can be regarded as null vectors. So this is the closure on null vectors. However, you remember this is for a tetrahedron with both time-like and space-like triangles. But these null vectors only appears on time-like triangles. So this means we have like less than four time-like vectors sum to zero. So the only possibility is this gives zero. Otherwise, it's generated. And this one is the usual closure. This time lag vectors is related to the previous result comes from the space-like triangles. And these are space-like vectors, which is the norm of time-like triangles. And this all gives you a closure constraint. And this is actually the norm of this triangle. And we also analyze this for the cases where all triangles are time-like. And I check the paper for this.
I'm sorry, I'm confused. Where does the condition of gluing vertices come from? I mean, aren't you just looking at one vertex amplitude?
No, it's not one vertex. It's many vertices. So you have this gluing condition. If you only have one vertex, LEF will be the boundary data. So you don't have the variation with respect to this.
Okay.
And this L is the back, like the back variable here for the gluing, like back variable on this edge and limb. So from here, we already see that our result is somehow related to the geometrical things. So what we want to do is we have a critical point solution, which is in C2 with SR2C group element. But we have a geometric interpretation naturally related to it in the Minkowski space-time with SO13. And this will finally relate to the simplicial geometry. So we want to see what is the geometric interpretation of our critical point configurations. This can be seen by naturally defined map from C2 to the Minkowski space-time and from SR2C to the SO13. But you know, if you lift the SR2C group element to SO13, you may have SO13 plus or SO13 minus. Depends on if it's in the connected components or it's not. But we have gauge transformation. With this gauge transformation, you can always gauge fix the imaging of this SR2C group element to in SO13 plus in the connected component. And with this map, you define the geometric vector and bar vectors. And this is defined from the original C2 variables into the bar vectors in C1 representation, which is V is the normal triangles in tetrahedron we get from the closure constraint, for example. And you encoded it in four-dimensional space-time, and you got this bar vector. So we can define a bar vector. This is a previous bar vector. But we scale it with the area. And this becomes the bar vector related to the triangles on each tetrahedron. The vectors are defined like this, and the area is what we've been before. And now the critical point equations become much simpler. This is a transformation between E and E prime, which is a parallel transport, tells you the bar vector at E is the same as bar vector at E prime after you multiply it by J. And also, you have a simplicity condition, which says all bar vectors are orthogonal to your normal. And then you have a closure, which says the sum of bar vectors on each triangle faces is zero. And this critical point equation is exactly like the geometric equation for four simplex. So basically, we can reconstruct no degenerate four simplex from this critical point configuration data. You have normals, and you have out-pointing normals for the geometric four simplex. You have bar vector, and you have bar vector for this four simplex. And you have a geometric solution, which is the group element in SO13, rotate each tetrahedron. You also have a geometric rotation, rotate each tetrahedron in the three-dimensional space orthogonal to the final four simplex. But we have more conditions. Because from normals and bar vectors to Minkowski's theorem, we can determine the boundary tetrahedron uniquely. And this boundary tetrahedron, if you want to glue it to a four simplex, it must satisfy the length matching condition. of the shape matching condition, which means the two tetrahedron, its length is shared by two tetrahedrons, and it must coincide between the two tetrahedrons. And also you must satisfy the orientation matching condition, which says for a triangle shared by two tetrahedron, these two tetrahedrons' orientation must match. So this, if the solution, if the boundary data matches these two conditions to this map, we have a geometric solution. This is what we call the reconstruction theorem. So basically, if the length matching condition and orientation matching condition is satisfied for your boundary data, then you have a no-degenerate geometric solution. This no-degenerate geometric solution is related to the bivector or reconstructed for simplex by this relation. But it means up to a plus or minus sign. And this minus, this sign is called the Planck-Bessing orientation. And this orientation determines two solutions, two Gaussian equivalent geometric solutions. And these two Gaussian equivalent solutions, they are related to each other by this relation. But this is only for single for simplex. And then we move to the simplicial manifold, simplicial complex with manifold simplices. From one for simplex to manifold simplices, as we see before, you have a Bloom condition between two vertices, for example. So basically, it's between two simplices shared a tetrahedron, and you want to glue them together. This is given by the gluing condition in the critical point equation, and you can write it like this. Also, from the previous reconstruction theorem for simplex, we can reconstruct the geometric simplex at V and V prime. They are related to this relation. Furthermore, you require a consistent orientation condition, which says if you have four simplex here and four simplex at V prime share a common tetrahedron, they must have orientation which in V is like this, and in V minus is minus this, because like U1 is clockwise, another one is anti-clockwise at the same point. No, it's okay. And these three conditions lead to this result, which says the signed volume of the four simplex. So the orientation of the four simplex actually contains two parts. One is the signed volume. And also, you have this R related to the permutation of the tetrahedron. And this tells you that finally, the signed volume multiplies this Planck-Bessing orientation is a constant. So this reminds us, for example, but the signed volume on a general simplicial complex is not a constant, of course. So this reminds us to do a subdivision of the complex K, and we subdivided it into subcomplexes, and in each subcomplexes, the signed volume is a constant. So RV is also a constant in this, but it's determined up to plus or minus one, remember. So since there will exist a geometric group element in SO13, which is determined up to a sign from the holonomy from your solution. And this sign is actually the sign of this orientation. And actually this, you can show that this geometric group element is actually the discrete spin connection compatible with your coframe. And of course, for the plus or minus R, you have two no-Gaussian equivalent geometric solutions, and they comes with, they're related by this, and it comes with different R. So up to now, we have all the reconstruction theorem for simplicial complex. But how about degenerate case? What is a degenerate case? We mean degenerate for simplex is that all the normals of the tetrahedron are parallel to each other. And this forms what we call degenerate case. And in this case, the SL2C group element turns out to be the group element in subgroup. So in SU11, for example, with time-like tetrahedrons. Of course, the imaging is SO12. But if we consider a four simplex contains both time-like and space-like triangles, you cannot have this condition. Because you have both time-like and space-like normals, you cannot make them parallel. So in this triangulation, they cannot be degenerate. So we totally avoid the degenerate sector, which appears in previous asymptotic analysis of stiffer models with this triangulation. But let's still see what happens if we are in a time-like tetrahedron with all faces time-like, with all triangles time-like. So this gives you a vector geometry, which in before you have a relation between bar vectors, and this becomes the relation between the normals or the triangles in each tetrahedron. And you can show that this solution is actually in one-to-one correspondence to the no degenerate solutions in split signature space. What do we call split signature space? Because we flip the sign of our z direction's normal. So you form Minkowski space time with minus plus 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 to minus plus plus minus. And the one-to-one correspondence is between this the no degenerate solution in this space with pairs of two node gauge equivalent vector geometry solution. We call it J plus or minus. So it's directly to say that the reconstruction of these two node gauge equivalent vector geometries is related to the reconstruction of the four simplex node degenerate solution in this space. And the reconstruction of this one is exactly the same as the reconstruction of this one. So you have the reconstruction for these vector geometries. And that is a special case, of course, if the J prime solution is also degenerate, then you only have one gauge equivalent class, and these two are gauge equivalent. And finally, this is the vector geometry solution. So that's, so now we finish all the reconstruction of the critical point equations. And we have what our critical point configuration is. It's related to the simplicial geometry. It's related to the simplicial geometry. And so what we need to do next, as we showed before, in our case, all the dominant part of the amplitude is dominated by the critical point. And the critical point, so we need to evaluate our action at this critical point. So first, we rewrite our action in terms of our decomposition variables. And it turns out the action can be written in this case where theta and phi are given here. And now what we need to do is we need to determine the theta and phi at critical points. And then this will give us the final result of the asymptotic limit. But there is ambiguity. Because when we define the boundary coherent state, the coherent state is defined with two variables, which is the normal of the, which is the rotation normal in J3 and K2, but without K1. So because this is the K1 eigenstate, so there is a naturally U1, the phase ambiguity related to this phase, related to this coherent state. And it turns out to be a U1 ambiguity for the phase. So we want to avoid this U1 ambiguity. And it turns out to be the invariant thing under this U1 transformation is the phase difference at two critical point solutions. As we showed before, if you give a boundary data, you have two geometric solutions related to different orientations. And this phase difference is given by the difference between these two solutions. And at the beginning, we show a simple case, which is one simplex case with boundary triangles. So in one four simplex case, a face is dual to a triangle. And on this face, you can define the face holonomy, which is the transformation from this tetrahedron to this tetrahedron, and it's written like this. And the normals of these two tetrahedron expands because these two tetrahedron are both time-like. So N is space-like, and since this triangle is time-like, so this N forms a 2D space-like plane, and the angles are rotation angle. It's a rotation from in the 2D space-like plane. From the reconstruction theorem, we already show that these two are related by this equation, and it turns out that this combination gives you the two reflection respect to these two normals. And as you know, two reflection lead to a rotation, and it exactly gives a rotation in a space-like plane with theta f is the angle between these two normals. From critical point equations, we can also write what is this combination. And this combination is given by the geometric bivectors and also the delta theta and the delta phi, which we want to determine. We want to determine at the critical point. So through the reconstruction theorem, these two coincide, and we can determine what is delta theta and delta phi. And it turns out delta theta is both, and it's zero. Delta phi is the rotation and is given by theta f, which is the angle between the normals of the boundary tetrahedron. Now we move to the general case with many simplices. You still have a phase holonomy like this, but now you have many vertices. So it's a path from vertices to vertices like this. The reconstruction theorem is similar, and we still have this relation. But these two normals are now given by one normal is in the original for simplex frame, but another normal is a parallel transported vector along the face. And these two normals still given the rotation in space-like plane because they form the bivector to the, they are all the normals to a time-like triangle. So it's still going like this, and from critical point equation, you still have this relation. But now the delta theta is over all vertices. Actually, it's over all four simplexes. Each four simplex, you have delta theta. And there are many four simplexes, so there is a sum. And finally, you get to this result. There's still no boost angles, and you have a rotation angle, which is given by the parallel transported vectors and the original vectors. And so you may ask, what is this angle? So first we write, we plug this back to our action, and it gives you this. This is very similar to radiation, but up to this path, because radiation is usually given by the area with deficit angle or dihedral angles. But it's more two pi, not this pi. And this pi is related to the lift ambiguity from SL2C to SL13. But as we showed before, we have a big transformation, which actually is right under this transformation. So this will fix part of the lift ambiguity. We fix it on each simplex, and after gluing, we get this condition. So the sum of delta phi on each four simplex, so each vertex has four simplex. We sum this at each four simplex, and we got a sum of this. And what is theta phi? What is theta f? So theta f here is the rotation angle. It's the angle between normals. And you know in the boundary case, the angle between normals is actually defines what you call the dihedral angle in radial calculus. And it's up to a pi, because the dihedral angle is the angle between the edges, the vector of the edges of the triangle. But here you have is the vector of the normals of this triangle difference. So you're up to a pi. And the deficit angle is defined as this. So you plug this back, you get this condition, which you have a number of vertices here in the back, number of vertices in the back because of this sum. So finally, you get the total difference, total phase difference. And as a direct result when this number of vertices, number of simplices in the back is even, then this is the rejection. So at the complementary of our result, we also evaluate the degenerate solutions. But as you know, the degenerate solution only appears when all triangles are time-like. And in degenerate solutions, you have this relation. But since each group element is not in SR2C, it's in SU11 now, so the rotation is become zero. And from the one-to-one correspondence between flip signature node degenerate solutions and the no gauge equivalent solutions of this vector geometry, you have this condition. And from this condition, you reconstruct the bar vectors in flip signature space, which is no degenerate. And you also have the reflection in the flipped signature space. And this relation finally determines the delta theta at your critical point. And it's given as a host angle. And so finally, the phase difference is going like this. So this part is exactly the rejection. So that's all our work. We can move to the conclusion. So as you can see, now we have the asymptotic analysis for time-like triangles. In previous results, we already have the asymptotic analysis for space-like tetrahedron, time-like tetrahedron, space-like triangles. So the asymptotic analysis of spinform models is not complete. And you can have arbitrary triangulation, but with no degenerate boundaries, of course. So your tetrahedron is usually chosen to be no degenerate. And also in our case, you see the asymptotics of the amplitude is dominated by the critical point, by the critical configuration. And this critical point configuration is related to the simplicial geometry. Also, you see that in our model, if you chose the triangulation to be the second triangulation, which is used in many radial calculus models, the model will include the degenerate geometry sector, which solves the big problem in previous asymptotics. And all your contribution is from the no degenerate triangulation. And this asymptotic limit is given by the is related to the rejection at the critical point, at the simplicial geometry, but it's not degenerate. From this result, we have many things can do. The first thing is the continuum limit of the model. For example, this is the semi-classical limit of the spinform model. So if we want to move to the classical limit, we need to do the continuum limit. And after this, we can apply the all-known method and calculations in radial calculus model. Because now we have the same triangulation as term. So since there are many radial calculus models which have the same resulting continuum limit as general relativity. So basically, we emerge in gravity from spinform models then after we apply the calculation in radial calculus models. So this is the work I'm working with Mu Xinhan for Kassner cosmology, for example. And also, we can evaluate the black holes in the semi-classical limit of spinform models. And of course, we can calculate all the propagators, which is a bigger problem, which is very complicated in spinform models. And there are many things we can do. And thanks for your attention.
So in the example, when you show several vertices, what do the gluing conditions there translate to? So the gluing conditions for the tetrahedra, is it just saying that the tetrahedra seen from the two frames should match, or
Yes. Actually, it's the tetrahedron thing from these two simplices they will match. And this gluing condition is simply given by, actually, there are two things. First thing is you have this relation from the critical point. You should solve it. Actually, after you make alpha to the real part of alpha to zero, it tells you the imaginary alpha is a constant on each vertices. This you should solve first. And then you have what happens if you're gluing to tetrahedrons. And the normals at each way and way prime is related by this condition. And geometrically, it's related to the consistent orientation because for one false simplex here and here, for example. Oh, okay. Let's write it another way. For they share a tetrahedron, you must imply this condition because this tetrahedron in this case is going by P1, P2, P3, P4, P5, the order of the tetrahedron. But in this one, because this tetrahedron must have a certain orientation of this tetrahedron, so in this one, you orient from this way, this one you orient it from this way. So you must have a consistent orientation in this many body. And after this, you imply this two conditions. This condition is simply from the two complex. And after you imply the conditions, and you reconstruct the simplex at each vertex, and you get this condition.
So the questions? Sorry, if you go back to the spectrum, I was a bit confused of trials and depending on whether they are time like space time.
So you mean this one?
No. Here.
Yeah, okay. So, sorry, what was your question?
I don't know. It's no question. Okay. I was wondering. So what I was confused about was a space-like triangle can belong both to a time-like.
Yes. Yes.
And
exactly.
Space-like.
Yes.
And you would like to have the same spectrum, whether you.
Yes. Yes.
What is interesting, though, is that both spectra are discrete.
Yeah, both spectrum discrete, because you are related to SR2 theorem, reducible representation. Yeah, there is some works maybe we can do, because from the canonical method, you cannot get this. Yeah, because from the canonical method, if you start from the SU11 group, actually, this is my previous work with Kalim. You have SU11 groups, but then you have a continuous spectrum. You don't know how to relate this continuous spectrum to the discrete spectrum in space like this. But here, because we start from SR2C, yeah, we have this implicit constraint and lead to this condition.
Yeah. So what do you think now is best model? So standard CQRL, we just have SU2.
Yes.
And the Conradi inhibitor one, they also sum over SU2 and then this SU1 branch. Are you now saying we should take the Conradi inhibitor one?
No, that difference depends on your triangulation. Your triangulation is like topological structure before you evaluate the model. The model is built on some graph, which is you triangulate the space-time. If you start a triangulation with four simplex like this, you need to use this model. If you start a triangulation with all tetrahedrons space-like, you use the EPIR model, the SU2 model.
So the Conradi UV.AF is extra sum over its four dimensional
ball. No, in EPR model, you also have the sum over, you mean the Minkowski theorem, the closure constraint? Or?
Basically, the 4D vector tells you whether your tetrahedron is on a space like hypersurface or.
Yes. Yes, exactly.
But let's ask the question like this. Are you saying you should define your spinball model with SU2 and SU11?
No,
or
with
just with
SU11. Just with SU11. Because we have to this triangulation. That's the SU1. No, because no. It has both. Because in your first simplex, you have both space-like and time-like tetrahedron, and the normals is it means by the triangulation of the tetrahedron. The gauge spacing depends on whether your tetrahedron is a space-like or time-like. Space-like tetrahedron, you chose EPIR normals with SU2 because space-like tetrahedron, it has a gauge group as SU2. But time-like tetrahedron has a gauge group as SU1. But in our triangulation, you have both. Because you have an initial slice, which is time-like, which is a space-like slice as your initial data, like Cauchy surface. And then you glue it, and you introduce time-like tetrahedron to glue it in another, to link it to another time slice. And this leads to this triangulation. So you have both.
So can you maybe say, or what would interest me the most is if you now compare amplitudes between SU2 boundary states in the EPRL model versus the amplitude in this quadratic EPRL model. Can you make a statement if one amplitude is bigger than the other one?
No. I don't know, but usually we guess it may coincide. But this is related to something like, because you know the spinform model is dependent on your triangulation, depends on the graph. So if you choose different graphs, they may have different results, or they may have, but we don't know. Answer to this is you really doubt the continuum limit, which would show that your theory is graph independent or not. Only after this we can say, whoa, this is the same or not. But basically a natural case is you have space-like slice with initial data and you glue it with time-like case and you move to another time-like slice. This is a natural thing, and in this case, you even don't need to impose the boundary data, like in homogeneous case. You just have two initial slices, and you calculate the transition amplitude between these two slices. But I think
my question is basically, so now we take EPR model, we just have a triangulation between, right?
Yes.
And compare this amplitude to a triangulation that would use the
Conradi EPR. No, but in EPR model, you cannot have time like. In EPR model, all these are space like, so it's not natural in this way.
Yeah.
It's not natural in this way.
So we want to compare that out.
This is not.
That's also time like control in the model.
Yeah, this is also time like control, but it's not like the EPR model.
Further questions? Well, that's not the case. Let's thank Hong Wang again.